Bibles, if you will, and turn to 1 Peter, chapter 1, where we're going to start tonight. This is our second study on the pursuit of holiness. Now, I realize and understand that when we come to know Jesus Christ, in His eyes, we are holy. All of our sins have been forgiven. We've been made brand new. We're a new creation. God sees us as perfect. Isn't that great?
Yeah.
He sees us as perfect. But we see, from our perspective, what we really are right now. We don't feel like we're already in the heavenlies, even though Paul says we're already seated with Christ in the heavenlies. And the reason is because we know what's inside of us. God already knows, of course, but He sees us through the blood of Jesus. But we have to live this life where we are. We're not there yet. So to pursue holiness is the greatest call in our life so that we can be usable. See, God doesn't use vessels that are dirty, right? He uses people that are trying to conform to the likeness of Christ, as Scripture calls it. So holiness is for us. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. But just as He who called you is holy, so be holy in all that you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. Now, there's something significant about those two verses right there that I just want to camp out on for just a moment before we move on through our outline. Just as He who called you is holy. Think about that. We just sang about the holiness of God. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of His glory. Where's that come from? Isaiah chapter 6. God is holy, holy, holy. It's never mentioned about God that He's just holy. He's always holy, holy, holy. In other words, He's the essence of holiness. In three parts, by the way. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Holy, holy, holy. In every part of who He is, He's holy. And just as He who called you is holy, so be holy. You see, God wouldn't ask us or command us to do something that's not possible. Right? It is possible for us to live holy lives. You might say, well, does that mean I never sin? That is not what it means. In fact, what's interesting is when you go through Scripture and it talks about people who were blameless in their walk, it's not because they didn't sin. Job sinned. Everybody sins. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But these are people who, when they do sin, they come clean with God. They don't hide their sin. They don't act like it wasn't a big deal. They don't forget about it and just do it again next time. They get clean with God. And because of that, Scripture says that he was blameless. See, God can't blame you if your sins are covered, right? And so you just stay clean before Him. If you mess up, which we all do, stay clean before God. Now, He has called every believer to holiness. Why do you think He calls everybody to be holy? Because we are the ones who should be speaking on His behalf. And what good is it if I tell people about how awesome God is and yet I'm dirty and I'm not useful? And in fact, Paul, when he was writing to Timothy in one of his letters, he says, listen, go through your house, and if there's anything in your house that's not of good use, get rid of it, so that you can be in a vessel unto honor and meet for the Master's work. In other words, so that God can use you, because He doesn't use dirty plates, just like you don't, right? You don't want a dirty plate with junk on it. You want a clean plate. He wants to use us. He desires to use us. And He's called us all to holiness. By the way, there's no exceptions to that. It's not a cultural holiness, by the way, where you walk around like a monk, you know, with your head shaved and you don't talk and whatever, you know, they take their oath of silence. You heard about the this young monk that went to a monastery, and the head monk told him, he says, okay, if you're going to be here, you have to take an oath of silence. You can't say anything for a year. At the end of the year, we'll let you say one word. The next year, the same thing, we'll let you say another word. The end of the third year, you can say one word. So at the end of the first year, he says, what do you have to say? Food. End of the second year, bed. End of the third year, done. He says, no wonder all you've been doing since you've been here is complaining. So anyway, it's not a cultural holiness. We are not to adapt to the character and the behavior pattern of Christians around us. Think about that. That's not what we're trying to become like. I'm not trying to become like you. You shouldn't be trying to become like me. I want to be like Christ. You see, so we can't measure ourselves up against anyone, because all of us are flawed. But He is holy. Be holy because I am holy, He says. The only standard is God Himself. There's no other exception. His holiness is the standard. T-H-E-E, I like to use it. He's the standard. Right? And here are the attributes of holiness. First of all, purity. Purity means the lack of even a hint of impurity or filth. No possibility of it even being there. We know that God is absolutely holy in all of His ways. And He says, be holy because I am holy. So He commands us to do the same. That means we need to take a look at our walk. We need to take a look at our speech. We need to take a look at our thoughts. We need to take a look at everything about us and look and see, is there something in here that's causing me to stumble and fall? Is there something that I'm doing that I shouldn't be doing? Is there something that's a stumbling block that's keeping me from walking the way He wants me to walk? Pure in everything. By the way, He never changes or vacillates. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's always been holy. He's holy right now. He will always be holy. Right? So just as He is holy, we are to be holy. Purity. Secondly, justness. Everything according to His character is just. In other words, He never does anything that's wrong. Ever, ever, ever. He's always just in what He says. He's always just in what He does. He's the standard. And so He says, just like I'm holy, you be holy. So we have to treat each other with justice. We have to do what's right, even when we don't want to. I think one of the things that we tend to do sometimes is say, well, you know, I didn't really lie. I just kind of bent the truth. You can't bend the truth. The truth is straight. It's either yes or it's no. There's no middle ground. And so we got to choose. Am I going to speak with am I going to speak in truth? Am I going to speak the love to others in truth? Or am I going to vacillate? Am I going to decide to just kind of go halfway? Purity, justice, righteousness. We sang about both holiness and righteousness a while ago. Righteousness means always acts according to His justice and His holiness. In other words, because He is holy and because He is just, what He does is always right. So can we do that? Yes, because He says, be holy because I'm holy. Look at what Revelation chapter 4, verse 8 says. Each of the four living creatures had six wings, was covered with eyes all around, even under its wings. And day and night, they never stop saying, they never stop saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." Aren't you glad God's holy? He's just, and He's right, and He's pure. And He calls us to that standard. Isaiah chapter 6, we mentioned it a while ago. And they were calling out to one another, the angels that were there, the seraphim, calling out saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of His glory." Exodus chapter 15, verse 11. "Who among the gods is like You, Lord? Who is like You, majestic in what? Holiness, awesome in glory, and working wonders." You see, folks, every believer is called into this kind of holiness. Are we going to pursue that? We might have it out there and say, "That would be a great thing to have, but I don't know how I can get there." And so we never decide to go there. We just keep thinking, "That'd be great," but we never decide to go there. It's like, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time, right? How do you become holy? One step at a time. It's not something that you just imagine and say, "Okay, now I'm holy." No. Holy, by the way, means what? Set apart for God's use. Set apart for God's use. He wants to use us, and so we must desire that holiness. So He's called every believer to holiness, and because He is holy, He can never, ever tempt us to sin. James 1:13, we went through this in the study of James. "When tempted, no one should say, 'God is tempting me,' for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does He tempt anyone." So if God doesn't tempt you, who does? The enemy. Our own personal selfishness. And the enemy that's alive and well, and he's roaring, walking around like a roaring lion, seek whom he may devour. You see, if God could tempt us, it would go against His character of holiness. God couldn't do that. Why? Because He's holy. He'll always be holy. So He'll never tempt you. So when you're tempted, don't think, "God's testing me on this." No. God's not testing you. You don't have to be tested. Just walk in holiness. You say, "Well, Pastor, that sounds awful easy." It's easier to walk in holiness than to fall and try to figure out how to get out of it. Right? He can't ever tempt us to sin. Why? Because He hates sin. Why does He hate sin so much, by the way? Because it's what separates us from Him. Look at what Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 through 19 says. "There are six things the Lord hates." Now, we might use the word hate like, "I hate Brussels sprouts." Amen. Or something like that. But we don't really hate them. We just throw up when we eat them. No, just kidding. Yeah. One way to not hate them is just don't eat them. That's right. Okay. These are six things the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to Him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a person who stirs up conflict among brothers. Now, let's look at each one of these for just a moment tonight. Scripture says He hates these. They're detestable to Him, which means they're against, diametrically opposed to who God is. This is why He hates it, because it's not anything like Him. And He's called us to be like Him. We are to walk like Him. We are to speak like Him. We are to think like Him. So all these things are detestable to Him. The haughty eyes means we're pride, full of pride. You know, there's something within us that likes to kind of puff out our chest and brag about something when it happens, right? That's pride. And what what's the middle letter in pride? I, right? People have I problems. Not this kind. This kind. We have I problems because we like to be exalted. We like to feel good. What was the sin that cast Lucifer out of heaven? Pride. I want to be like God. I want to exalt myself above His throne. Haughty eyes. The second one is a lying tongue, deceiving. Well, that fits right along with Satan, isn't it? Because the Scripture says, when he speaks, when he lies, he's speaking his native tongue. That's all he knows how to do, is lie. The truth is not in him. We need to be truthful. Even when it hurts. Right? We need to be truthful. It's not always easy because we don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, or we don't want to cause any problems. But by not telling the truth, we cause more problems than we ever would if we just would speak the truth. The key is speaking the truth in love. So, haughty eyes, prideful eyes, lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood. What blood is innocent? I mean, don't we all have sin in us? Exactly right. Those children that have not yet sinned. Think about it. One of the biggest money makers in the United States right now is the abortion industry. Planned Parenthood. Yeah, I plan on being a parent, but then I'm not going to be a parent. I'm going to kill my kid. Hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that devises wicked schemes. What that means is premeditating sin. Now see, there's some sins that, you know, in the heat quickness of the moment or whatever, we just do it and then we go, oh man, why did I do that? That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about thinking about that sin and meditating about it and thinking, how could I do this and get away with it? But our sins will always find us out. Feet that are quick to rush into evil. This is a pattern of sin that is predominant in our life. Maybe there's something in your heart or in your life that you don't even think about it. You just do it. You know it's wrong, but you do it anyway. God hates that. You know why? Because it takes Him off the throne and it puts you on the throne. A false witness who pours out lies. That's a person who's bringing harm to others. God hates that. We need to speak the truth in love. And lastly, a person who stirs up discord among the brothers. Literally harming the body of Christ. There are so many bodies of Christ in this world that have been torn apart by people who have sown discord. Why does God hate that? Because we are the body of Christ. And every person who stands up and starts causing problems and then somebody else who goes around and speaks about somebody behind somebody's back and starts trying to get rumors going and whatever else, it harms the body of Christ. God hates that. Why? Because any of these things cause us to not be holy. And what did God say? Be holy. Be holy. Be blameless. If you mess up, confess it. Get clean and move on. Don't wallow around in it going like, oh man, I'm so mad. Oh, I'm so bad. You'll never let me. No, confess it. God, I messed up. I did something I knew I shouldn't have done, and I did it. I'm sorry. Please forgive me, and then move on. God wants us. He desires for us to be holy. And it'd do well for all of us to think about these seven things that hurt God's heart and make sure that we're not doing those things. And if we do, immediately confess. If we'll confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and what? Cleanse us from what? All unrighteousness. What does that make you? Makes you holy. You want to be holy? Confess your sins. Get clean before God. Call your sin what it is. Don't just say, God, forgive me of all my sins. Bless all the missionaries in the world. Amen. That's not prayer. What sins are you trying to confess? Let's get specific. If you want to be forgiven, you need to ask for forgiveness for exactly what it is. So that you know, and He already knows what that sin is. If I'll confess my sin, then He's faithful and just, because He's faithful and He's just, to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen?
Amen.
All right.